This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We have not heard from Tua Tagovailoa since that awful night on Thursday night.
Getting carted off, I don't remember that.
Serious business. And as you know, concussions apparently become easier.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
My heart's going to be in my throat on Sunday night watching this. That's for damn sure.
Earlier on the show, NFL Pro Bowler and MLB All-Star Bo Jackson, MLB Network analyst Al Leiter. Still to come, actor and comedian Kevin Nealon. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air right here on the Roku channel, channel 210. We're live on every single Roku device as we speak. All Samsung smart TVs and Amazon Fire TV, the Roku app. You can watch us on any mobile device at any time you want, thanks to channel 210. We re-air as soon as we're done. If you missed anything from hour number one when we had Bo Jackson phoning into this program, or Al Leiter in hour number two talking about the baseball playoffs, we're re-airing as soon as this ends on channel 210. We have our podcast, where all podcasts can be acquired through the Cumulus Podcast Network. We're on Sirius, we're on XM, we're on the Odyssey app, and we are thrilled to have we're thrilled to have right here in studio the man whose new book is out where all books can be acquired, I Exaggerate My Brushes with Fame. Some fantastic drawings and caricatures, as well as stories from Kevin Nealon here in studio. Good to see you, sir.
Yeah, you too, Rich. I'm really pleased to be in the third hour of the show, because that's always been my favorite hour.
Is that your third hour?
Third hour, yeah.
You're a third hour guy, huh?
Yeah, I was waiting in the back for like 3 hours.
Was it comfortable back there?
It was great. Okay. Yeah, in fact, I brought some of the snacks you had in the basket out here.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Very good. I'm glad you've been seated.
I got a coffee here, too.
You got a coffee and a Rich Eisen Show mug. It's a left-handed mug, though. You see that? You notice that?
Let me see.
Yeah, it is. It's a left-handed. It's careful. Careful. There's the logo. Look at that. Good to see you, sir.
You too, buddy. We
hear on our show, whenever somebody gives somebody a compliment in higher register, it's like it's kind of a backhanded compliment. Like, I didn't know about that about you. So if you don't mind, I'll go a little.
Okay.
I didn't know you could draw like this, Kevin.
That's such a backhanded compliment.
You know what I mean? But I mean, the drawings in here, the caricatures in here are remarkable.
It's funny. A lot of people are surprised that I have talent.
It's kind of terrible to say something like that.
But thank you. A lot of people don't know that. And it's always been kind of my own little personal thing. I started drawing when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I used to draw maps in school. I had to not trace them, but look at them and draw those. And then I just started loving to doodle. And then I started drawing people. Like on SNL, I'd start drawing little caricatures of the people sitting across from me at the table read on Wednesdays, Farley, even Lorne Michaels or the guest host, whomever. And I liked doing it. And then I started drawing people on airplanes when they were asleep. They were like, and I draw them because they're a perfect subject.
Did you give it to them when you were living?
No. I kept them. And I would draw it on napkins or on a barf bag, preferably an empty barf bag. And then I started getting into doing really caricature work and really kind of studying it and analyzing what other people had posted on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then I took lessons from some guy in England for 10 lessons. And we would, it was like 500 euros to do that, and not including the trips back and forth.
That's expensive. Yeah. But I mean, it is awesome because of the stories that you tell as well. Put the Farley one up. Look at this photo, this drawing of Farley that we have here. I mean, that's fantastic.
Wow.
That is fantastic. And you got him sweating bullets. And so the stories you tell are awesome to go with this. The story you told of Farley was the Weekend Update moment where he came out. What was that?
It was written that he would be on the Weekend Update. I forget what character he was doing. But the gist of it would be he would be lifted up by a cable that was strapped to him in a harness.
Oh, I think it was the life coach.
That's right.
Down Rather River.
Yeah, that's right. And he was doing his thing, and he was supposed to get lifted up, and they lifted him up. But as they lifted him, he swung backwards into the Weekend Update logo, which sticks out a little bit. And he got caught. He got caught on there.
This is the live version?
Yeah, this is live. He got caught on there, and he just didn't know what to do. He's like, and he's still yelling out his starter. And so I finally got up and helped unhook him, and then he went to fly out over the audience. You know,
was that the El Nino one?
I think he was El Nino, the storm.
Oh, he was the El Nino storm or something like that? Oh,
yeah.
Man. Oh, God. I mean, what a that dude, man.
He was amazing. I mean, he always wanted to be like Belushi, John Belushi, because he loved Belushi, and he pretty much emulated him, even as far as the drugs and dying at 33.
And when he was around, though, that's the guy, right? You would see the guy on the air, the same guy off the air.
Yeah. He constantly wanted to get laughs because he felt like that was his value. That's made him worthwhile. He didn't realize he was enough. I mean, people loved him.
We had Ed O'Neill on this show a couple of
not a fan of Ed's, but go ahead.
The reason why I bring that up is he told a story about Chris Farley being at a Super Bowl party that John Lovitz was throwing, and that Lovitz was making fun of how much food Farley was eating. And he said, I'll show you, essentially, and came out of the kitchen with John Lovitz's cat in a piece of Italian bread and mocked eating it. And Lovitz heard that story and actually posted the photograph on Twitter. And there it is right there.
Oh my gosh.
You didn't happen to be at this Super Bowl bash.
I wasn't, but I thought Farley was a vegetarian. No,
he is definitely off menu right there. He's definitely breaking.
Yeah. Everything. Yeah. I mean, I'm hearing about these Farley stories now that, you know, he's been gone for a while, but they keep popping up, and I never heard of that one. I've heard of when he had a dog in one.
That might be a good drawing for your future drawing.
That might be.
Let's put another one up. There's a great caricature of the Mannings, Peyton and Eli.
Yeah. Peyton and Eli.
And telling a story about them with Emma Stone. Is that what's the story?
I mean, you see Eli holding a phone there. That's my phone.
Okay.
I was at the 40th SNL reunion, which was amazing. Everybody was there. Prince, Paul McCartney, the list went on. Mm-hmm. And at the after party at the Plaza Hotel, up in the ballroom there, everybody's there with tuxedos. Prince is about to play. And I see Peyton Manning outside the ballroom by the bar. And I don't know him, but I know who he is, of course. Mm-hmm. And I went over and introduced myself. And we chatted for like 10 minutes. You know, we were just a couple of athletes chatting. That's all we were. And I asked him at the end, I said, can we take a picture together? He goes, yeah, sure. So I give my phone to Norm MacDonald, actually. God bless him. And Norm takes our picture. And as he handed it back to me, Peyton Manning sort of intercepted it, took it and said, gave it to Eli, who was standing over there. Mm-hmm. Eli, check this picture, see if it's okay. Eli looks at it. He goes, yeah, it looks good. Hands it back to me. They leave. 10 minutes later, I go to text somebody, and my entire phone is in Chinese font. I mean, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't get out of it. I could not figure it out at all. And I thought, how did this happen? The Peyton Manning brothers.
Is that what they did?
Eli does that. It's his prank that he does. And I couldn't get out of it. I went to everybody. I went over to Emma Stone, who I don't know either. I said, you know how to get out of this? She goes, oh, I don't know what's going on this phone. But finally, I found Peyton Manning in the ballroom. I could see him. He's tall. I'm tall.
Yes.
I was angry. I said, Peyton, you got to fix my phone. Mm-hmm. I hate the Broncos. I hate quarterbacks.
Right.
And he said, you got to take it to my brother, Eli. He's the one that did it. So I ran a square out pattern with a little loop
nicely
over to Eli.
Done. Yes.
And I said, Eli, you got to fix this. So he fixed it. He fixed it for me. But so the good thing is I got 10 new followers from Beijing.
At Kevin_Nealon on Twitter, by the way. Don't forget the underscore.
That's on Twitter, And my Instagram is at Kevin Nealon.
Just plain old.
At Kevin Nealon.
Okay, no underscore necessary on Instagram?
No, I got it before somebody could take it.
Go.
I think I did, yeah. Okay. At Kevin Nealon.
But that's a great caricature of the Mannings right there.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I mean, the forehead for somebody like Peyton, that's the easy one, right?
That's right.
That's it, right?
Some
there.
Things just jump out with people.
Mm-hmm. That's one of them right there. Another drawing that I want to throw up there. This is incredible as well. You just mentioned him. Norm MacDonald is that's a great one right there.
Yeah, Norm was quite a guy. He was so unique. He was so peculiar too. Norm was very needy in a way. And I'm not speaking out of, I mean, everybody knew that he was needy. He always needed a handler.
Yes.
Because he just, I don't know if he didn't know how to do things or he just didn't feel like doing it. Like, I go on tour with him. He couldn't find his passport. He couldn't find his shoes. He couldn't find this and that.
Are you serious?
He didn't drive. He didn't have no driver's license. You had to, like, point him in the right direction where to go. And this was without doing drugs or anything. And he loved to gamble. And again, yes. That's I'm not speaking out of school on that one either. He loved to gamble. And I learned not to loan nor money because he wouldn't pay it back. And we were in Vegas once, and he asked to borrow $500. So I gave him the $500, thinking he'd pay it back. Mm. And he went off to gamble. He came back the next morning. I saw him for breakfast. I said, "Norm, you got the $500? I had you last night." He goes, "Oh, you'll get it. You'll get it." The next day, "Norm, don't forget the $500. "You'll get it." And then the third day, I go, "Norm, you got the $500? You keep putting me off. But, I mean, you know, this disrespectful not paying me back." He goes, "What are you complaining about? You only lost $500. I lost $5,000. Good Lord. Hey, you only lost $5,000. I lost $5,000. Good Lord. I got to work on his impression."
That is amazing. I remember him when he hosted the ESPYs. That's where I met him.
Yeah.
When he hosted the ESPYs, and that was off the charts. I mean, his famous joke about the Heisman Trophy, you know.
What was it?
The joke was about the Heisman Trophy that
Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson, right?
He's like, "Charles Woodson is here."
This guy, Charles
Woodson.
Something
they can never take away from you. You know, unless you kill your wife and a waiter.
That's right. He won the Heisman Trophy. They can never take it away from you unless you kill your wife and a waiter. And the whole room was just like, oh, my gosh.
They cut to Ken Griffey Jr. and he's just like,
Was that the one, too, where Will Ferrell did Harry Carey and made fun of Elway's teeth? Yeah. And it was, oh, boy. It was off the charts that night.
Yeah, that must have been a great night.
Yeah.
People would say how brave and courageous Norm's comedy was, but I just call it poor judgment.
Yeah. Well, Lovett said they got banned from a Biloxi casino once.
Oh, because
and
of Norm?
I thought because Norm like was counting cards or something. He said no because he totally torched the room of all the whales. Like he made fun of them in a way that was like he didn't read the room. And he absolutely did that poor judgment thing, and that's why they got banned from a Biloxi casino.
Wow, even on his memorial, 10 people walked out. Yeah, he was, but I got to cut him a little slack, because the last 9 years of his life, he had cancer that he wasn't telling anybody, and he was taking a lot of different prescription medicine, and that kind of make you a little loopy.
Sure, yeah.
But not that much more.
But I do remember him jumping out of like a stage door at Radio City Music Hall, when, you know, we were all getting ready for the night and he was asking about a score of a game. Like,
yeah,
he just like,
yeah.
Thought like I would be like his own personal sports phone. Yeah. Like, hey, who's winning that game? You know?
Did you ever follow him on Twitter, his golf commentary?
Oh, my God.
It was so great.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, he did it just like an announcer.
It was just great. Know? Norm.
Tiger dancing on the green with
he was just the all-time best, man. No question about it. So I exaggerate my brushes with fame. Portraits and Stories, Kevin Nealon right here.
Yeah, you can get that at any bookstore. You go to my website, kevinnealon.com.
Available next week, right now. October 25th. You can pre-order. And then go visit kevinnealon.com for upcoming shows. And I saw you do stand-up at the Bob Saget affair that occurred in his memory. The hot comedy, Cool Cuisine.
Yeah.
And you were telling... some terrific stories that makes it seem like you're coming from my best dad ever title right here. What was that story you were telling about? What happened?
I tell the audience, I say, I bet I'd be a really good dad, you know, if I was home more with my kid.
Right.
And, but you know, I'm at that point now where my son recognizes that I'm an older father, compared to his friends' fathers. And it's not sitting well with him. And I came to his bedroom about a week ago. I could tell he had been crying.
Mm-hmm.
His eyes were all puffy, tears stained cheeks. I said, what's the matter, buddy? Because I don't know his name. I'm never home.
What's his name? What is his name?
He said, I've just been thinking. I'm 10 now. When you're 63, when I'm 20, you're going to be 73. When I'm 30, you're going to be 83. You're not going to be around for a lot of my life, are you? I said, oh, buddy.
What's his name?
So I'm going to be around for a long time. I'll be around when you graduate. I'll be around when you get married, when you have kids. I'll be around for all that stuff. Don't you worry about that. But you got to make that happen in the next 4 years. Otherwise, yeah, you're right. I probably won't be around.
Wow.
Buddy, everybody.
Buddy, buddy.
Gosh. Yeah. Best dad ever.
Best dad when he's home.
Best dad. Every time I think of that, when you walk out the door, I think of Harry Chapin. I think of Cats in the Cradle.
Oh,
every single
yeah.
damn time, man.
Yeah.
Not feeling
yeah.
great, you know?
Yeah.
One of those deals.
Yeah.
But
that is that. I used to think about that a lot, too. And then I was reminded how much money I'd be making on this cake. And then I would think the money's in the cradle now.
Oh, my gosh. How many Sandler movies have you done?
I've done about 13 of them.
13 of them.
It's been a while, though. I mean, he's kind of smartened up and used other people.
What do you mean he's smartened up? Come on now.
You know, it seems like all the roles are kind of a little bit embarrassing. Like I did Little Nicky where I played head, the gatekeeper of hell. And I had two breasts on my head.
Mm-hmm.
And they look so real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the makeup department did an amazing job.
Sure.
They had water balloons in each one, and they just blended it in with my scalp, and
mm-hmm.
And they felt like they were real breasts, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And and everybody wanted to feel my breasts on my head, and yeah. sometimes I'd be talking to somebody, and this happened more often than not. I have to say, excuse me, my eyes are down here. My eyes are down here. And at the end of the day, when they took them off,
yes.
nobody, I was like, I was invisible.
Persona
nobody cared
Andrana,
about me.
All of a sudden.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, I get it now. I get it.
Right. So that was just one of the 13 roles, right?
It was one of the 13 roles. Then I played, you know, Happy Gilmore. I played the guru on the green. Harness the good. Block the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Send the ball home, Happy. The mm-hmm. bags are packed. Circular. Put the quarter in. Goes around and around and around. Psycho. But that, a lot of that was improvised.
Okay.
And I've been in a lot of his films. I was in Zohan, and I played a neighborhood watch guy.
Mm-hmm.
Who was just terrified of everything. And I would soil my pants more often than not,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a neighborhood watch guy. I was not good.
Mm-hmm.
I was not good. What else was there? I think I played a bank manager in the Water Boy. I forget. I can't keep track
can't
of them.
Can't keep track of them. Did you meet Bob Barker on the set of Happy Gilmore? Did that happen?
I knew Bob Barker before that.
What do you
because
mean?
Because we both were involved in animal issues.
Sure. Help and control the pet population, have your pets
that's
spayed or
neutered. Right. And I remember there was a zoo in Michigan, I want to say,
mm-hmm.
and they had an elephant there that there was some controversy with it. Maybe mm-hmm. not a big enough place for it to be or the way they got it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bob Barker asked if I would go with him. And they call him the Silver Fox Tongue or something, you know, Bob Barker, because he really gets in there and he speaks for it. You know, he's well spoken and he's not afraid of anything or anyone.
Uh-huh.
And I go with him and they have a trailer and the zoo people, there's a DJ guy mm. who was there as part of the radio show and they're throwing, gave everybody penis to throw at us.
What?
Yeah.
That's your Bob Barker story.
Yeah, yeah. Now, let me finish. And then I turned on Bob.
Then you turned.
And I got
him.
Into a big fight with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know. And those, I put those peanuts in his eyeballs.
Is that what happened?
How's that for an ending?
Yeah, that, ladies and gentlemen, I met him one time at a.
And did he say, "Come on down"?
No.
You weren't on the game show.
Okay. No, it was not that. But it was at a fundraiser for animal rescue.
Yeah.
And I went up to him and I told him about what he meant to me. As somebody growing up, and what he meant to me as a broadcaster, I told him.
Oh, really?
I said, the way that you welcome everybody to Contestants Row, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, doesn't matter anything. You welcome everybody the same exact way. And that's where I kind of, like, I'm on NFL Network, and I talk to veterans and rookies and people from different walks of life, and you're an inspiration for that. And he looks at me, and he goes, do you want to hug it out? Literally is what he said.
Really?
And I said yes,
I do.
I do. As a matter of fact, yeah. And we
you
embraced. We embraced.
It okay, Bob, let me one. Go. Bob, let me go now. That's a little too long. Bob.
Back up,
Barker.
The price is wrong.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow. Fantastic.
But you have like a likability to you too, which is half of that. He wasn't that. Good looking, you know? But you have a sense of people will trust.
I appreciate you saying that, and I think it just might be I do have the same desire to give away cash and prizes.
You do.
I would love to. I really
Well, you should get together with Norm Macdonald then. Give away some money.
That's right. That is so funny. You lost 500. I lost 5,000.
Yeah, good Lord.
Oh, the Norm gambling stories are just legendary.
They're this stuff
yeah,
a legend.
Legendary.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Kevin, Grandma's Boy would technically count as a Sandler movie too, right?
That was.
I've watched you as
Grandma's Boy.
I've watched you as Mr. Cheezo about 200 times.
That's right. I forgot about that one.
By the way, look at this, Christopher Walken.
Wow.
That is. Do you got a good Walken story? Obviously, you wrote about one. What's the Walken story about?
The Walken story. Is this live?
Are we live? Really? Is that no good? Is it that? Is it
we'll pass that one.
Oh, we're past that one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I got to get the book. How about that?
You got to get the book. No, Walken was great. I worked with him in SNL. He was great. But there's a lot in there. There's a lot of different pictures that I love. I mean, I love the Jeff Daniels one. It's kind of simple, but I like it. I like the Robin Williams up front.
The Robin Williams one up front is terrific. That's an easy one for me to find. There it is. It's from his stand-up comedy days when he was Mork.
Wow.
Yeah, he would come into the improv a lot when I was bartending at the improv for a while. Right. He would come in with those Mork suspenders on.
Right.
And he would just go crazy.
Fresh from probably like shooting an episode, you think? Like just...
Yeah.
Just go ahead, do a little Mork and Mindy, rap for the day, and then go.
In, he like had just the craziest energy. He would come from shooting Mork,
right?
Come do the improv,
yeah,
and then he'd go to the Comedy Store, and then he'd go party afterwards with his friends.
For his friends,
yeah.
And you were not part of that group.
No.
Who would be on a typical night in the Comedy Store on a night like that?
Oh,
like with you.
Well, you know, back then, this was back in the 1900s.
Yes,
and I mean, I saw everybody back then. Andy Kaufman, Richard Pryor, Robin Williams, Jay Leno, David Letterman.
Yeah.
I mean, the list was endless.
Billy Crystal was there too, right?
Billy Crystal was there. Peyton Manning. He used to start to be a stand-up.
Odd that you had a phone put into Chinese.
Zelensky was there. He used to do stand-up comedy.
And Howie Mandel was also at the Saget night
too.
Yeah.
He was there a lot. I mean, Jim Carrey. It was really, at the time, you didn't really realize how special it was.
Yeah.
And as you look back now, you think, wow, the 80s, that was really the beginning of the wave for stand-up comedy in the clubs.
That was it.
You know, that boom of comedy clubs everywhere.
Right.
And now everybody's doing stand-up. I see people that I've never even heard of before that are doing a Netflix special.
Well, everybody can check you out. KevinNealon.com for more dates. You're going to be in Grand Rapids, Michigan, November 10th and 11th. The Park Theater in Holland, Michigan, November 12th. At Kevin_Nealon on Twitter, at Kevin Nealon on Instagram. And start next Tuesday, where all books are acquired. You can pre-order right now. I Exaggerate My Brushes with Fame. Some fantastic caricatures and great stories. And always appreciate it, Kevin Nealon.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you. Anytime.
You too.
Anytime. Thanks, man. And you know, and the mug and the popcorn is yours to keep.
No.
Yes. That's the way I go. They told you I like to give away cash and prizes.
The popcorn I can keep?
You can, yeah.
That's
the way I roll. That's right. Kevin Nealon right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back with to finish up Hour 3 in a moment. What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jai-Alai, spelled Jai-Alai. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jai-Alai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. Six-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighLieWorld.com or download the free Jai-Alai app in the App Store. This sport, with its intensity and athleticism, is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighLieWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win two sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighLieWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m. 2000, 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, those are some scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're kind of going through right now. One thing is certain, it's a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting, so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all
in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is simple. NetSuite. It's why 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. netsuite.com/richpod. 2008, 2022, when it comes to the economy, I'm talking about some very tough years. The dot-com crash, housing crash, and the ups and downs that we're going through right now. Over 31,000 businesses, however, have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins, everything you need all in one place. 93% of customers say they've improved their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. Yesterday, Ryan Fitzpatrick of Amazon Prime Video now came on this show and said to him, Tom Brady looks disinterested playing football. Ben Roethlisberger, we played the soundbite from his podcast that I did not know that he was actually endeavoring. Is it called Footballin'? Is that what it is?
Yeah, footballin'.
How do you say it? I turned to my East Coast Keystone State friend. It's spelled F-O-O-T-B-A-H-L-I-N.
So it's like footballin'.
Is that how it is? Is that how it's that's footballin'. How footballin'. Someone from Pittsburgh
Dan.
Would say?
Dan.
Downtown, you know, footballing. Is that what it is? Yeah. I didn't read. That's the name of the pod.
Yep.
He said that Brady looks unhappy out there. I'm paraphrasing, he just doesn't look like he's having fun. He just looks like he doesn't want to be there. I think that's what he said, right? Looks like he doesn't want to be there. Last time Ryan Fitzpatrick said he thought this of Brady was 2019, which turned out to be his last year in New England. We all know he won the Super Bowl the next year. So does that mean he already realizes the end has arrived? He doesn't want to, like, he could wave a wand and no more football.
Abracadabra.
Tom Brady asked today about retirement. Mm. Getting ready for Carolina. Maybe he's feeling great about himself because it's the Carolina Panthers, currently number one on the clock.
Get right week.
Tom Brady had this answer.
There's been a couple of national talking heads speculating that, you know, Tom is not even going to finish out the season. And I've tried to, like, say that's got to be crazy. I mean, we're here all the time. Can you clarify? Like,
well, that's really why I'm here. I'm here to announce, finally, you guys pushed me to the brink. And, no, I think, you know, I think a lot of it for me is just us going out there to, you know, I love the sport and I love the teammates and you know. I want to go do a great job for this team like I always have. So no retirement in my future. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. By the way, who are the pundits nationally that's saying he might not even finish the season? Who's that?
I haven't heard that at all, but
that one's new to me.
Something that reporter made up.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Pundits.
I just gave you the thing on the spot. I gave you the one that was on our show yesterday, and then the soundbite we then been played from Ben Roethlisberger yesterday. Neither of them are thinking that he's going to not finish the season. I haven't heard anybody say that, but it did elicit a soundbite that we did just play of him saying no retirement is imminent.
What percentage?
0.0.
What percentage would you put at this being his last year ever?
I would.
Depends on how the season ends, right?
Does it?
Well, I mean, you're saying if he wins the Super Bowl, then that makes it seem more of him just strolling off.
He's had two chances to quit recently after winning a Super Bowl and didn't do it.
So if he wins, he's done.
The two being what? The one after the Super Bowl?
The one in 2018 when they beat the Rams. He could have retired then. Well, and then 2 years ago when he won with the Bucks, he could have retired again and didn't. He just keeps coming back. So why would we think this would be his last year?
Terminator.
Look.
Without getting into anything personal, I'm just saying.
I know.
All I know is, you know, he can still do it at a high level.
Right.
So why should he stop? Just on that alone, okay? On that alone. But clearly there are other circumstances. He's a 45-year-old man with a lot of ish going on.
Right.
So I don't know what everything all in together is causing him to maybe not want to do it anymore. Right?
Or give off the impression where Ryan Fitzpatrick would say he looks disinterested.
I don't think he looks disinterested.
Yelling at his teammates?
I think I don't think he's disinterested. Disinterested means that he'd rather not be there, right?
Right.
Which is what Roethlisberger, they're kind of saying the same thing, but they're saying different things. What he looks like to me when I'm watching him play is, and this is a word I very rarely have ever said about him, he looks defeated.
Stressed out.
No.
Defeated?
He looks defeated to me. Like he knows the guys up front are not guys that are, I mean, he wouldn't say this publicly, but he did kind of say to his guys, you're better than this, you know, embarking at them last week. He looks like to me. He looks like to me that he knows, at least at this point in time of the season, the horses aren't there. He knows what the horses need to look like. He knows. He's run many races. He's won many races. Okay. So I'm saying that's what he looks like to me. And through that comes the joylessness that people might interpret as disinterest. I don't think he is disinterested at all. I think he's very interested in winning. And I think he's beyond interested in winning. I think he's beyond committed to winning. But I think he knows what time it is up front. And what's up front is, for him, too many defenders coming at him. And he knows what's outside and what he's had outside. And what he's had in his huddle. He misses Gronk. He misses a third wide receiver like Antonio Brown. And he misses the protection up front. And he knows it. I don't think he goes to sleep thinking this defense isn't going to get me where I need to go. I don't think he thinks that at all.
They still win the South, right? They have to.
I don't know.
Can they? They can.
I think they win this week and they're 4-3. And then in comes Baltimore on a short week. And, you know, Calais Campbell's a very large, determined man standing right over the middle. And the rest of that defense, they can hunt. Jason Pierre-Paul knows all about taking Tom Brady out.
He doesn't make the playoffs, does he, retire?
There's too much speculation about what he's going to do and what he's not going to do. And the only one who knows it is the guy who just spoke. And we're all just guessing and throwing darts. All of us are. You know, and I'm even uncomfortable sitting here speculating about what is in his intention and in his mind and his heart. But I don't believe he's disinterested.
He's going through it, man. Like
he's going through
I've never been married.
Oh, well. I mean, you want to talk about that? Probably, I'm talking about football.
Yeah, but you can't separate those two things. I've never gone through a divorce, but I don't know how you can. If your heart is hurting, man, if your heart is hurt, your heart's hurt. And it's going to come through. And I don't know if anyone's taking that into consideration. You know, we're all making, not we all, but people making jokes about his situation. That's got to wear on him. Like I said, I've never been there personally, but I've been close to people.
He is not disinterested in football. He's not disinterested in his teammates. He's not I think that's why I kind of raised my eyebrows. Like, hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick knows how to play quarterback, and he knows how to play quarterback for a long time in this league. And, you know, and he views what Brady's doing as disinterest. I look at it as a guy who knows what it takes to win. And deep down, he feels he doesn't have it right now. And he's going through this right now, hoping that he does have it. Don't forget, that team was right around 500 when they lost to Kansas City on the Sunday of Thanksgiving week in the year that they won it all. They just turned it on. But he did have,
Gronk, and he did have better protection up front, and he did have better weapons that he's currently going into battle with. I mean, Julio Jones, just you can't count on him right now. Russell Gage, I had as one of my top five under the radar acquisitions. I don't know what's going on. He's not. It's not clicking. It's not fitting. So, I mean, he seemed very jovial today and smiling and saying, you know, no retirement on the horizon. But, you know, I know, and that'll be a headline. That's what kind of got our attention. But that was in response to a question that put out some supposed national punditry that I've not heard. And we're in the business of national punditry. I haven't heard anybody say that Brady's not going to finish the season. Like what? Like he's going to leave? In the middle of the season?
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
That's absurd. That's absurd. Him, however, not returning is not. So to answer your, it's a very long-winded answer to your question about what percentage I would put at it, I would say it's better than 50-50 that he's going to retire. I mean, he's got a $375 million, he's got a $37.5 million a year gig waiting for him once he's finished, if that's really what he would like to do. You know, and that does involve a lot of travel. That's weekends away every single weekend. I know, but I mean, but if he wants to be around, I know that, but if he wants to be around, that's not it. Yeah, you do what Manning's doing, which is still being involved, calling games for your own production company in your own basement. That's a win. You want to hang and put a win on the board. That's a W.
Even Eli more so because Peyton actually has to go somewhere.
Does he? That's not in his house?
I don't believe. I know. Eli's pretty sure.
Is that why Peyton's always eating on the air and Eli isn't?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm pretty sure I heard him say that it's not his house.
It's like a local studio.
But Eli goes right downstairs.
That's the best. You can't trust me.
Eli's got a simulator in his house. I mean, that's the dream.
Right.
Let's take a break. We'll talk a little bit about the association and what we saw on the first full night of hoops of the 2022-2023 season, set up tonight's game. And then tomorrow's show, we've got some great guests to tell you about right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back with more in a moment. This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, TJ Jefferson still hasn't renamed his team.
I don't understand what we're doing here.
Like, the draft is 12 hours old, 15 hours old.
And when do games start? When do we actually start the league? Next week, right? We're not starting this week? Am I wrong?
No, that's right. It's okay.
Okay.
Coop got Kyrie Irving, so he named his team the United States of Flat America. I'm like, okay, what's that for? He goes, Kyrie Irving thinks the world is flat, Dad. Even an 11-year-old knows that. Is he fine with that? Is he cool with that, Kyrie? Does he care?
Doesn't care.
11-year-olds know he thinks the world is flat.
Doesn't care. I'm playing Coop week one.
My son gets an A in geography.
Well, he knows that because you've told him.
I have said zero to him about Kyrie Irving and the earth being flat.
Really?
Zero. Now, his mom may have. I don't know.
I mean, come on.
It's entirely possible Susie has.
Kids ain't picking this stuff up just on their own.
How do you know?
Because that's not how kids work, man.
They're on screens all the time. The guy with no kids.
That's how kids work.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, because I haven't been around hundreds of them.
Excuse me. He's friends with Handy Manny, okay? He's friends with a man who has delighted millions of children worldwide.
That is factual, actually.
Great show. East Coast Adjacent? You could do that.
Yeah, why don't you name your team East Coast Adjacent?
How about I name my team D's?
I'm going to go in and name your team. That's exactly what you should do. I'm the commissioner.
Did you get that from Smitch? Did he text that to you too?
Yeah, he did.
What?
He's texting both of us.
About
TJ
me?
TJ should rename his team East Coast Adjacent.
Tell Smitch if you've got something to say to text me, okay?
No, he'd rather tell us than us tell the world.
You're right.
Yeah, because you think you're making me look bad or something. But
he understands.
You're really stupid with this argument.
You're doing a good job making yourself look bad by getting butthurt over this.
Am I getting butthurt, Chris?
Yeah, you are. You've been very aggressive. We said, when are you going to name your team?
I'm black, all right? This is how we talk.
Wow.
Maybe you guys don't understand. Black people, we talk with more emotion, okay? Like, you guys think I get butthurt, but I don't. This is just the way I speak.
Italians and Jews do that, too.
Yeah, and no one, I don't ever hear you calling Mike getting butthurt.
To ask him if he's butthurt. Oh, we ask Mike if he's butthurt all the time.
I get butthurt
a lot. Fish McWilliams over there.
Yeah, he wasn't here that day, so he doesn't.
See, look at him. He's so. What are you going to name your team, TJ?
I'm not naming it. No.
Honestly, the draft ended around 8:30, 9 o'clock Pacific Coast time last night. It's almost noon the next day, and it's still TBD. When are you going to do
it? TJ's doing a decision like Jordan.
It's named. It's now your team's name is TBD.
It is staying TBD.
I keep it.
By the way, Chris, that was my goal.
That was your
goal? Entire time. I want you to keep your team that way. I want you to keep your team that way.
You act like I'm 11 and you can like play mind games with me.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not.
Says you.
That sounds
says
like
you.
No,
says
I'm not.
Says you. Whatever you're saying bounces off me and sticks to you.
No, I'm not.
I'm rubber. You're glue.
That's right.
You guys are. This is why I can't be part of leagues with you guys.
Please. We don't want you anyway.
Well, what?
You don't care about it.
Wow. TJ, now I'm with you.
Now I would be butthurt about it.
You don't care about the NBA.
No, I don't.
You don't.
I don't. I'm not an NBA guy.
You don't care.
I like college basketball.
You don't care about it.
Yeah. Yeah, the college basketball. Why do you like college basketball?
I love college basketball.
What do you love a lot about college basketball?
Because we beat Michigan last year.
He just goes back to troll. He goes back to trolling. He doesn't talk about the game.
He is a troll.
He doesn't talk about it.
I will admit, if I can
admit,
TJ's might not be butthurt, but I am a troll. I'll admit it. I'm a king of the trolls. I don't care. Brockman hates me for that, though.
No, yeah, I don't like you because you don't stop talking.
You look like you're about to change the subject.
No, I'm trying to figure out if I can change TJ's teammate.
He's trying to use his league manager tools.
I tell you what.
Look at Adam Silver over there.
If my team name gets touched, then that's some type of violation, so therefore I will not take part in this league.
TJ.
Whoa.
Oh.
That's the ultimate butthurt.
No.
That's not butthurt. You can't go in and F with somebody's team.
Is to say, I am quitting the league.
That is the ultimate butthurt fantasy move.
No.
How would you?
You're quitting the league.
Act like you're above things, right? But if somebody did some stuff to you.
Like what? I quit a league?
I've never considered quitting a league. Everyone just relax. All right, we need to change
it. It can't be done.
We need to change the subject.
I have one last question, and then we can change the subject. When are you changing your team?
You know what? Maybe you guys can help me with a name then. All right? Because I have five names that I'm trying to pick from.
The butthurts.
No. The butthurt is going to be you after Ohio State waxes Michigan and you come in here. If we're going to be honest about something butthurt, then you are going to be butthurt, Rich, because sports don't affect me the way that it affects you, okay? So we're going to talk about butthurt. Let that happen. Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
This guy.
Am I wrong?
We're having fun that he's bringing real life into it.
Well, because sometimes realism needs to be addressed.
Well, it doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about.
How?
Play that role.
Say you're butthurt without really. Say you're not butthurt by actually acting like you've been butthurt for like five straight minutes.
It's okay.
Okay.
I honestly don't care. Right. I don't know why we're wasting time on this.
I don't think we're wasting time. I think this is an absolutely perfect use of Rich Eisen's show property.
I think Roku Joe is pretty upset right now.
Paolo Banchero looked amazing last night. Can we all agree with that?
He did something. What, LeBron was the last one to come out of the gate like that? Best debut.
I mean, his debut was better than LeBron stat line wise, but yeah, nobody's done it since.
Which is what's his name?
He had 27-9-5 last night. Pretty good.
How about that? It's Paolo Banchero.
Do you have him on your team?
How did it just get brought up like better than LeBron?
Like,
he had a better debut than LeBron.
I know. It's just funny that's like people on Twitter was like.
I mean, yeah, exactly. It's one
Zion. How about Zion? How about Zion going to Brooklyn?
Every number one draft pick on earth that's ever happened, it's like we're
how about Zion going into Brooklyn, guys? How about that?
I was very shocked that the Pelicans waxed the Nets like that.
Were you, though?
Kind of.
Oh, man, you got
really? You weren't?
You got so many guys you could play their names
off of, man.
You got Luka. You're going to name your team off after Luka?
I could name my team. Are you feeling Luka Punk? I could do that.
Okay.
You know, I could go Grin and Gobert.
Oh, that's good. Oh,
yeah. Grin and Go
Barrett. That's really good.
Squid Dame instead of Squid Game.
Oh, Squid Dame.
Game of Thrones.
See, I
don't even know why he's sweating me on this. Why did you think about sweating me on this?
If you had led with that, you could have avoided all the awkwardness.
Hold on. I didn't get a chance to.
I got the problem.
TJ, like so many teams that he has.
No, that has zero to do with it.
So you're going to name multiple names.
Signed to a maxi contract, right?
I got Mitchell Robinson. So what does that make my team name? Here's to you, Mitchell Robinson. You guys really thought about that.
You can't name a fantasy basketball team after Mitchell Robinson.
Who says you can't?
Is that written?
Yeah, is there written?
When you've got Jamal Murray, Gobert. Come on, there are better players.
It doesn't matter. It's about the name. Here's to you, Mitchell Robinson. That's a great name. I love how the fact that you get mad that I don't have a name, then I'm giving you names, and you're trying to tell me why I can't name my team.
You're just upset because I got Kawhi.
TJ, I change the name every week now. Man. I do it every week.
Mike, because I've got 10 of them.
I did have to explain to Cooper.
I would do it the whole season.
What Carver High was.
Better call Paul.
Because there's a Carver High Booster Club. Whose team name is that?
That's Mitch.
That's Mitch.
Okay.
Yeah. Better call Paul. Does that work for you, Rich?
Better call Paul.
Had you just asked me beforehand, I'd been like, yeah, I got a bunch of names. You know what I'm saying?
Choose one is all we're saying.
I mean, you guys.
I want one. There's 19 weeks in our regular season.
Yes.
I want 19 different.
Yeah, I want to name a week.
Yeah, that's probably where I'm heading.
Yep. It's all TBD right now, guys.
Yeah, for sure. That's
and you got to have Jordan decision.
Yeah, for sure.
This NFL season, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, Thanksgiving, and Christmas triple headers, the international series, and every postseason game. Yes, tonight's game, Thursday Night Football. On Westwood One. Hey, you know what? And you can watch it right here on Roku on Prime Video. You know the last time the Cardinals won a home game?
Last time they won a home game? Has it been a while?
8 straight losses at home.
No way.
It was a losing streak that began on that Thursday night loss that gave them their first loss of the season last year to Green Bay. That week 8, that was a week 8 loss on Thursday Night Football. They were the last remaining undefeated team last year at 7-0. Packers beat them, and they haven't won at home since.
Phew. Andy Dalton has lost 11 straight primetime games.
Something's got to give. Or not.
Ty, if we get a tie tonight with, like, please, one touchdown.
For Al Michaels' sake.
What are we doing?
Because Kirk Herbstreit can't, you know, say anything. He's new to the NFL. He's got to, you know, these guys.
Al told Dan Snyder to sell the team last week. He can do whatever he wants.
He essentially did.
He did. Yeah.
So there's your thing. Obama, Al Michaels, and then who's the athlete? Remember we were going Reagan, Vince Scully, Bo? We were trying to figure out what the new thing with that would be. So Obama, Al would have to be your announcer.
I don't know.
Right?
I guess.
Very good. I mean, put Brady in the booth.
I'm taking the Cardinals tonight.
You have to. I think
The Cardinals totally tonight. D-Hop's back. Yeah, you know what Zach Ertz, by the way, leads all NFC tight ends in catches. So, I mean, he's still going to be there. Yeah. D-Hop's back.
Is Connor playing this
week? Eno Benjamin, by the way, does it sounds like one of those guys who does a great set at the Comedy Store, right? Who opened for Eno Benjamin tonight?
That was James Conner.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Kevin Nealon.
Thanks to Kevin Nealon for being here. Greatly appreciate him and Al Leiter for calling in. And then that was great with Bo Jackson. If you missed it, we're about to re-air on the Roku channel. And, of course, there is the Rich Eisen Show collection on the Roku channel. You can hit those videos. There's our YouTube page as well. Tomorrow's show, Chip Kelly, UCLA football.
Family.
Ryan Phillippe in studio. Rokon Smith of the Bears. And Robert Saleh, who put his cards on the table. Of the New York Jets.
He will be on
that show on Friday. And that show is this show. We'll wrap it up in a moment on Roku.
Hey, gents, let's talk Halloween for a second.
What is your favorite Halloween memory?
One time I saw Nightmare Before Christmas performed live at the Hollywood Bowl.
Walking with your kids.
It felt so magical.
And after they've got their candy and they walk away.
So pure.
The dad inside the house is handing you a beer.
My dad, when I get home, he would have me like empty out all the candy to make sure that it's safe. And it wasn't until I was about 35 that I realized, what the f***? He was just eating my candy. Rude.
What's your favorite Halloween costume?
One year I was Matthew McConaughey's character from Dazed and Confused.
One year I was like, I would like to be roadkill.
The Halloween costume was a plastic smock and then a really scratchy plastic mask. I mean, you were styling if you had one of those.
Aquaman, the plastic mask cutting into your eyes and then you get that little hole in the mouth to breathe through all night long.
What's your favorite Halloween candy?
What's your favorite candy, Mandy? Oh, that rhymes.
Anything Reese's, Snickers bars.
It's all the food groups.
It's a meal.
You got nuts, you got caramel, yes.
Candy corn.
I love it. Me too.
Wait, really?
I'm one of the small percent of people who actually really enjoys candy corn. It gets a bad rap.
Thank you so much, everyone. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween from the Cumulus Podcast Network. Make sure to subscribe and follow us at youtube.com/Cumulus Podcast.
Candy corn is terrible. It's atrocious. It shouldn't be allowed. It's not a candy.
Ooh. Happy Halloween.